Hey, welcome back, Gregory and Paul Show. I'm Gregory.
I'm Paul.
And there's always some technical difficulties with the live stream. Someday always. We'll maybe get an intern in Argentina to help us. I hear Peter Thiel is having a great time down there. He sent me a postcard. Topics for the show. Obviously, we're just going to spend the entire time talking about the SpaceX IPO, the Anthropic IPO, the OpenAI IPO. Paul, are there any other IPOs that we need to throw into the mix, or is that plenty?
Not that I know of, but that's what
are you going IPO? Did you file confidentially?
Am I going IPO? File confidentially by publicly tweeting about the fact that I'm filing privately, confidentially.
Oh my God. Okay. And what else we got on the list? We got a few things. Claude Fable Mythos is out. I'm trying it. The writing isn't as good as Gemini, but that's fine. We want to touch on the Silicon Valley escort services that are now charging supposedly $5,000 an hour to talk nerdy to AI engineers. We'll touch
in the
on
AI industry.
$5,000 an hour is pretty good, right?
Amazing.
We talk nerdy for an hour on this show and we don't make $5,000 at all. In fact, like, I think we are negative. We spend money to do this thing. Okay, let's keep going. Apple updated Siri, supposedly. NVIDIA is worth more than India. We'll see how good Americans are at math. Token maxing part two. I know you got something you want to share about that. And we'll talk about startup pitch competition. We will be in Silicon Valley in September at Snowflake headquarters. And Atlassian has just agreed to host us in November. Paul. SpaceX IPO. Are you buying this thing tomorrow morning? Are you taking out loans against your home and your children? And you're gonna use a firm to buy now, pay later? Like, what are you doing with this thing?
I don't think I'm gonna buy it open, but I have my watch list scraping the price every 3 seconds. So I'm gonna be very, very in tune
You're scraping the price every 3 seconds?
Yeah, I send him alerts.
Okay. What do you think about this article that this woman in public relations is going to take her entire $6,500 in savings to buy SpaceX stock the minute it hits to market. And supposedly, according to the article, she asked her friends to lend her another $5,000 to buy SpaceX stock. Is this a top? Is this a peak? Is this a bubble? What do you think?
Hey, I think that's dangerously representing the peak of bubble. Of this AI bubble.
Oh my God.
When your cab driver is giving you stock advice and when bartenders are asking if he should invest in SpaceX, I think that's the top.
I think
when
it's
normal people have absolutely no idea about AI is asking if they should invest in AI space companies. I think that's the top of the market.
The best comment I read on Twitter was like, I don't know if it's the top, but it's definitely not.
Definitely not the bottom.
Right? But like 100%. Like, when you read, like, random people are going to take their life savings and are asking for loans to buy the space, that is not the bottom. But, okay, so seriously. So I wrote up a post this morning about my experience with the Facebook IPO, because I think that is probably the best analog for this. So I was working at a startup in San Francisco, and we had this, like, shared office space with a couple other startups, and we had a Facebook app. I think they were even the ones we leased the space from. Like, they had the master lease, and then we were like one of the small startups that they were like leasing to. And they were super excited about the Facebook IPO. And at that point, Facebook applications that were built on top of Facebook were really popular. There was over like $1 billion invested in them, which is really funny because like the only one I can remember now is Zynga. That was the only one I think was relatively successful. And we had an exotic iOS specific product that like at the time, like people thought that was kind of dumb. Like, you're only going to go after iPhones. And I guess anyway, I think we made a good decision there, but they were so excited about it. They put up a projector and they're like, we're going to watch the IPO price all day long. And they had like a pool where you could like pick numbers and wager on like what the closing price would be. And people had these outrageous targets, like $100, $200, $300. I think I picked like 50 or something. But do you know what the actual performance of Facebook stock was that day?
I'm going to say it probably went down.
Yeah, it opened. I have it right here. What did it open at? It was priced at $38 a share. So that was just like SpaceX is what, $125? So is it the price tag? Something like that.
$135.
So it was priced at 38. And so it went to a high. So priced at 38, Facebook stock went to a high of 42, then closed at 38.23. So no pop.
So flat. No pop.
Which like people were kind of disappointed. Like, I remember walking around. I don't even remember what I did that day. But I got back to the office and they were kind of like, like, I don't even know who won the pool. Like, it just was like a non-event. And my attitude about it was like, isn't that really the point of an IPO? Like, why leave shares on the table and let the price spike? Because if the price spikes, it means that there's more demand than there is supply. And like, maybe like people don't understand what an IPO is supposed to do. So an IPO, the purpose of it, right, is to raise money. Like, it's getting investment. It's the same thing as like getting venture capital or getting a loan from a bank. You're trying to like raise money in order to invest in your business. So if the price of shares spike on the first day, that money is not going to the company in order to fund their product development and build a better product. It's going to like shareholders and traders and people that are just involved
insiders in
the stock. Yeah, or just anybody, like they're stock traders. They're not people that work at the company or the company's not benefiting from it, at least directly because of it. So I took that side of the Facebook IPO, which is like, ultimately, I think it's a huge success. That means they priced it perfectly. Like, it didn't really crash. They met all of the demand. They raised more money than anyone had ever raised at the time. And so it was a huge success. So based on that, what do you think will happen tomorrow?
Yeah, so like the stock setup looks very similar, right? It seems like both are, I think SpaceX is floating maybe 5% of shares to the public. So in some theory, there could be a lot of demand behind the stock. And like Facebook IPO 2008, is that correct? 2000?
Yeah.
2008-ish.
It's medieval when it comes to high tech.
Yeah, exactly. So back in 2008, this is when the first wave of millennials first got onto Facebook X. It's not a well-known brand by any means, but SpaceX is a much different situation right now. It's very well-known. People know about it because of Elon's behind it. People understand it. People associate it with Tesla. So like there's a lot of hype from general public versus when first Facebook IPO'd.
Bro, it's a space company.
So it's a space company, but people associated with Elon Musk, right? So I think it's a complete different setup.
I agree. I agree 100%. Like it's Facebook was not well known at the time outside of like, you know, young people.
College kids.
Elite tech circles or something. I think Elon Musk is like, he's known as the world's wealthiest person. He's incredibly famous. So it's a totally different situation. There's so many factors in this IPO that I think it's impossible to really determine what's going to happen, right? There's only 4% of the float. So they're only going to release 4% of the stock. So there's like that's a tiny fraction of stock that's going to be available. So the supply might be limited. There's retail investors are buying them. So what did I read this morning? There's so many announcements. Like I can't even keep track, like which is accurate, but like retail has supposedly bought up a huge amount of it, which is totally unusual. That hardly ever happens. So it's a giant wild card. Like, are there millions of people with like $2 to $3 like this article we read with $4,000-$5,000? Like maybe that's going to be like giant. Like I have no idea.
Yeah. Cause Fidelity, remember how Fidelity slashed its IPO minimum from like $500,000 to $2,000.
I put in for it. I 4 o'clock today. I get the confirmation, I believe. So we'll see.
Exactly. So they're definitely chasing the little guy's order, retailer's order, and then there are anti-flipping rules. I think you have to hold it for 15 days on Fidelity, which is fairly long, and I think other companies are doing a 30-day flip. Rules, and you have to pay something like $50 to $100 if you're selling it within the first 3 month.
There's like a penalty or something.
Yeah, there's a penalty on that. So it's interesting the types of people that's going to get in, the types of people that they're kind of targeting. I'm bullish on this. I think the stock's going to pop just only because there's so much demand out there. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
Yeah. I think last time I was like, I thought it'd be kind of flat. What number did you pick?
I think it's going to double on the day.
Okay. So I have the Poly market in front of me right now. People like wagering real money on the closing price for SpaceX on the first day.
Yeah. What does the Poly market say? Right.
Yeah. So you're in the lead. So, depends on what number you're, if you're saying double. So, okay. Double 135 is 270.
Yeah.
So that is over the segment of 150 to 200, which is the most popular. So 60% of people are wagering that it'll close at $150 to $200 a share.
150. Okay. Gotcha. So like a 50% increase.
More than, yeah. So more than half are betting that. I'm still in the like 100 to 150 camp, which is 33. And then there is a group of people, let's see, $200 to $250 a share is 3%, and more than 250 is actually 4%. So you're technically in the 3%.
I think I'm going to trust Polymarket on this. I think it's probably the most likely it'll go up by 50%. So somewhere around the $200 range.
It seems like the most rational answer, like without any, with whatever information is public that keeps changing all the time. Right. And the like requirements keep shifting around. Like there's also at one point where, there's going to be S&P inclusion. Now there's not going to be S&P inclusion. There's going to be NASDAQ 100 inclusion. Like it's just really complicated to play this in the short term.
Yeah.
I think that like the NASDAQ 100 inclusion piece is important in the short term. And that makes me bullish that it won't collapse. So on the first day, and this can be hard to get shares, I don't think a lot of people want to sell them on the first day, and they'll be like forced buying. So index funds, people that like track the market, they're going to have to buy the stock in order to meet their requirements for NASDAQ inclusion. So there will be like a lot of pressure to support the stock over the short term. I thought it was 15 days that they have in order to be included for NASDAQ, but I could be wrong on the exact time frame, but it's quite quick. They're supposed to go right into it. S&P said they're going to like abide by their rules, which is they need to be public for a year. They have other rules too. I think they need to be profitable or something. But the S&P said like they're not going to change the rules for a space sector, which I was really happy about. Actually, I thought changing the rules for them to include them when they went public was a bad precedent, specifically for the S&P. Like that should be set up a certain way and they shouldn't change that. Like a lot of people rely on that for their retirement and believe in it as an index. And so I'm really against like them making weird changes to it. NASDAQ 100 seems fine to me ultimately. Like NASDAQ 100 is supposed to be the 100 craziest tech stocks on the NASDAQ. And it's important to point out that NASDAQ won the IPO. So the idea that like the NASDAQ would perhaps bend the rules so they could go into the NASDAQ 100 and then go IPO on the NASDAQ, that all kind of makes sense. If I worked at NASDAQ, if I was CEO of NASDAQ, of course, that's what I would do.
That's actually a good question. It's listed on NASDAQ, right? Instead of New York Stock Exchange?
Far as I know, who knows though? With this thing, anything could change.
Anything could change on the IPO day.
Anything can happen with this stuff, man. That's why I like, don't pin me down for anything on this one.
Yeah. We'll go down the street, still list down NASDAQ. Whoa.
All right. What else do we have on this? Okay. 4 times oversubscribed. This was from Jim Cramer, of course, my favorite. Jim Cramer tweeted, SpaceX is 4 times oversubscribed, lots of money. And then he says, Cerebus was 22 times oversubscribed. Like that IPO was not as strong. So just because it's oversubscribed doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot.
Right. I actually agree with him. Do you agree with his take on this one?
I mean, yeah, I don't think any of the rumors being posted on Twitter today about how much stock is perhaps changing hands are even relevant, accurate, or anything other than just like fun marketing. Like, I don't believe any of them. Like Jim Cramer, like what does he know? Like, and it could change. Like people, it's a market. It's kind of exciting. Like it's a market. Like people might decide tonight, like they don't confirm with Fidelity and the shares don't go through, right? Who knows? I just think there's a lot of uncertainty is the right word to use.
Yeah, like, so I guess the oversubscription could mean that people think the stock is cheap, right? Like I think the stats is that it's 4 times oversubscribed. People think there's opportunity here is to buy it, but also like oversubscription is completely made up stat. Like it's,
what does it mean?
Yeah, like everybody know they all, most people over order, which kind of like inflates the oversubscription stat, and then which makes more people paying attention. And they like it creates it's a self fulfilling prophecy. Okay. So.
I was going to say, the only thing that we know is inverse Jim Cramer, right? That like
actually works.
Exactly. If Cramer says that, then like, I don't know, maybe it's not going to do so well. The curse of Cramer.
How is the inverse Kramer ETF doing?
Oh my God. I looked it up. I think it's been discontinued or something, but like you could still find the results of the inverse Kramer, which did quite well. Okay. I have more. I did some more research on this because I think this is like, it's like the Nerd Olympics. Like I got Anthropic, OpenAI, and SpaceX all going IPO. It's fantastic. If only Stripe was in the mix, like that's the only way this could truly become the World Cup of like tech IPOs. And like Stripe appears to like never go public. I think that's ultimately their plan. They get listed in all these you know, top 10 most likely to go public tech companies, and Stripe is always listed. But at this point, the rumor is that not that I like hang out with Carlson Brothers, although I'd love to have a pint with him in Dublin like anytime.
But
like, yeah, they seem to like, they're buying back. They've done all these things where like they buy back shares and they're buying the investors out. Like they're doing everything that would indicate that they don't want to go public. It's really interesting. My guess is that the business is so,
I wonder,
it's so incredibly profitable. They don't want anyone to know. That's what I think.
You think so? Or they're expanding to horizontal industries like crypto.
Dude,
without
how much do you pay? How much do you pay to Stripe?
Oh my God. Way too much.
Thousands.
5% on 5% on every dollar.
Right. Like
5% every dollar, yeah. Like yeah. 5 cents on every single dollar that I make.
And what do we do? What do they do? Just bloop. It just they don't do anything. Like I never call them. Like I don't cost them anything. Right. I don't like need their help. They have the best product, the best documentation. Everything works flawlessly for me. Incredible. Like I have a credit card that gets denied. The thing auto renews. Like it's just they have every single feature figured out. Like it's the greatest business of all time.
I wonder if they're, okay. So Stripe is built on the back of credit card payment rails, right? Like their core business still so far after all the add-ons of like crypto on ramps and stuff is still helping people on the internet collect credit card payments. So like they pay credit card companies a ton of money. Mm-hmm. To have access to these networks. So my hypothesis is that they're in cahoots with credit card companies. Staying private means that less regulation. They get away with more stuff than what these credit card companies can, right? Like credit card companies can't say, well, we're just going to sell all of our customers' data, even though that they do.
Why would that
more
affect
regulations.
Them? Why would being public? I mean, this is an interesting theory. I'm just curious, like, why you, like, what do you think would impact them direct? Because they'd have to disclose more? Or?
Yeah, they have to disclose more. Like, credit card companies being public, they have to disclose where their revenue sources are coming from.
Okay.
Right? Like, for example, yeah. A lot of people don't know that a credit card company sells all of your information to, right? Like, that's literally how they money. You
they don't
that
know
credit
that?
Card companies.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people think credit card companies make money on your transactions. Well, they don't. They sell your information. That's how they make money. They're a data company.
That's a good point. Actually, I hadn't considered that.
I think like
that the amount of money they make selling everyone's data is so enormous that people would be that. So I, at the highest level, that's still my theory is that the public
they're making a lot of money.
The public disclosure of like how that business works would frustrate and upset certain people. That's what I think. And I think that's the most diplomatic way I can put it. I don't believe they're doing anything wrong. I think it is the most fantastic product
out
there.
Not.
And they deserve every penny. But like, I think there might be people that look at that and go like, wait a minute. Yeah,
right. It literally means all of their shareholders so far are happy with the current setup.
Dude. Oh, so, okay.
The unhappy ones are getting bought out.
I have an example where this happened. What? So there were ad tech companies that went public. And then they had to disclose, like, they had a couple of things they had to disclose. So they, like, margins became transparent. And then they had to commit to certain types of, like, reporting. And then maybe
That's
the app.
Yeah.
And so that That's was it. Also a big issue was that, like, however, like, Wall Street works, like, typically you report on, there's a set of metrics that, like, there's GAAP, right? But there's also, like, set of metrics that you report on. And then those metrics start to look really bad because, like, the business changed. Like a good example would be like clicks are not going to matter that much going forward. So if all of a sudden you committed to like talking about clicks and all they do is keep going down, it doesn't look great. And Wall Street don't care. They're not a bunch of nerds who give a crap that like clicks are going down. They don't understand why I've done that. So those are two reasons like going public can be difficult. Like there's like metrics that you commit to for your business and then your business is really volatile or it changes because of like the way the tech world works. That can be problematic. And then the transparency with like margins can be an issue. So with like ad tech companies, then their customers, like in the advertising world, were like, these Martians are way too big. Like, we're not happy with that. So, okay. Back to SpaceX. So for anyone out there who is committed to buying the IPO tomorrow, it's not a crazy bet. So I've done a lot of research on this. There's a lot of charts out there. I don't have all of them in front of me. I did see one chart that said they looked at a lot of different IPOs 3 months later, or 3 years later, and 60% were underwater, right? They hadn't met they were lower than the opening price, which sounds bad, right? But it's funny, because I was talking to my buddy with this chart, and that was the way everyone was positioning it. Like, oh, 60%, this is terrible. Like, don't buy the IPO. And I said to him, like, dude, 40% are above. Like, that's actually a good bet. Like, if you gamble and you go to Las Vegas, there's not many games that have a 40% a chance of winning, right? Your chances are way lower. Like, when you gamble with slot machines, or like when I play poker, I'm terrible at it. Right? I just lose all of my money. Poker's one of the examples where they're actually, you can get an edge. So I thought that was funny. Like
40%, a little bit less than a coin toss.
Yeah, it's it's like, I looked at that and I go, okay, holding for 3 years is hard for a lot of people. And so they panic and they sell. So I understand that that's like a problem and one reason that you shouldn't buy the IPO. But your odds at 40% are like quite good. My buddy's like, I'll take those odds any day.
Wait, so
yeah,
did those stats, is it the IPO price or is it after day one?
That's a great question. I don't remember, to be honest. My guess is that those are all done at the IPO price.
IPO price. So the
it's not problem. Usually that it's not always the closing price, because the closing price could be crazy for some of these things. So
that's right. Yeah. Because like, for example, Figma's IPO price is like $30, but nobody had access to that.
I got you
on
though.
The first day.
I got you. So I had a different question that I wanted to answer.
Okay, cool.
But ultimately, I answered your question with the same data analysis. So I pulled a bunch of like recent IPOs. There was a bunch of charts going around with like some guy had like price to sales stuff and saying that like NVIDIA went public at 2x price to sales. SpaceX is at 95, blah, blah, blah. So I took that chart and I said, okay, price to sales. Yeah, sure. But like, what does it look like total return? And the total return from the IPO to close, if you do it through like a stock chart, will actually find the closing prices. That's how they're all calculated, right? So it's not the IPO price, it's the closing price. If I'm wrong, let me know. But like, that's my understanding of it. I think different systems will work differently. But let's assume that that's correct. Because like, if you look at the IPO success of like thing like Amazon, dude, it's up 264,344%. So if you hold long enough, and that's not the only one, right? Meta, 1,394% up from IPO. Palantir, can you guess?
Well, Palantir is up massively.
1,315, and that's like a relatively new IPO compared to Amazon, right? Want to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. How about Robinhood?
That's a good stock.
That was a hard one. I couldn't guess. Okay, up 146% from IPO. So like, and there's some notable ones that are like at the moment are not trading well. So Coinbase down 55%. Obviously, like crypto is having some issues at the moment. And then like here's another one. Snapchat down 80%. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody though.
That's a
like,
rough one.
Snapchat famously struggled as a, let's say, stock. I'm not gonna say they struggle as a company. I think it's a great company. I think they make a lot of money. I think they're underrated to some degree. But performance has not been fantastic. So I don't think that would surprise anyone. But like, given this list that I have, like a lot of these were a success if you bought them at the IPO and you just hold. You just have to hold for a while.
So it's not, IPO is not the best entry point.
It's not the best entry point.
Would you say that's correct? But if you hold it out long term, like 5 year horizon, 5 to 10 year horizon, you will be up.
Yeah, I was doing this analysis and I just stopped because I know Google's the same thing, up like 100,000% or something crazy.
Yeah, okay.
I know NVIDIA. I know I know all these other, like all the major tech companies you've heard of that are still public today, they all have enormously successful stock charts if you go from IPO to the current price. Mind-blowing returns, right? There are a lot that didn't do as well, but they're not as popular of the names, right? If you look at these names here, Amazon, of course, they're a fantastic business. Meta, of course, they're a fantastic business. Palantir, of course, they're a fantastic business. Like Snapchat is not in the same league, even though I think they're cool. I think they're really interesting business.
Totally.
Clearly not the same, not the same thing, right? So if you go down to Google, NVIDIA, like you look at, they look at like Intel from when they went public. These companies are crazy. Salesforce.
Totally.
That's another one. They're like, they've had a big decline recently, but if you look from IPO, like that thing has been a monster. So if you do want to buy this SpaceX IPO tomorrow, it's not my recommendation, but it's also like not the silliest thing to do as long as you're like really committed to holding it for a long time.
So, okay. So question to you, right? It seems like from this analysis, best time to buy IPO is what, 6 to 12 months after the date, which is
we have that chart, right? We had that chart in our deck. So where's that one? Who is this guy? So,
I'm just like looking at some dude.
MON investor. I like this chart because like there's not really any dates on it. It just has like some lines. It's great. It says SpaceX IPO, how it'll probably go. Day one, spikes.
Yep.
Retail buys and retail sells out, and then it just kind of like lingers,
just fizzles out,
like 1 to 12 months, and then it takes off again. I actually believe 100% this chart's accurate. That's how it's going to work.
Right. Okay. So seems like time horizon buying 6 to 12 months, right? That's the so anywhere after Christmas to next summer.
I was trying to find. I'm not smart enough. Like, there's some people out there. Like,
okay. I'll throw a question. Okay. Figma IPO last year, August. It's exactly within that window of like 6 to 12 months. Would you buy Figma today?
Oh my God, dude.
The stock is down like what, 70% from my IPO price?
Yeah. Look, no, I'm not a buyer of Figma. I wish I was. I want to be.
But like, okay. So go back to your logic of like IPO price.
Yeah.
6 to 12 months, 5 years. It's a buy. What stops? And if you read all the news, right, all the news is super negative. Claude came out with this Figma competitor, Claude Design, is SaaS dead, all of this talk about it. As a prudent investor, isn't this literally the best entry point?
Yeah, but it's got to be a great company. Like, I had some on my list that are not doing well, right? Like, from a stock perspective.
Figma.
Like,
yeah.
But like, people still love Snapchat. It's not a great stock. Or hasn't been a great stock. I want to be really clear. Like, I don't know. No one knows anything when it comes to stocks. All I know is like, I looked at that chart today. Not a great investment. Could become
not a great investment.
Could it become a great investment? I wouldn't count it out. Like, I'm not buying it. So same with Figma. Like, look, it hasn't done well as a public company. Like, I think that's a fact. What other facts do we know? Like, personally, because I was into the design. I mean, I got a freaking Bauhaus poster, right? Like,
that's true.
I love design, right? So I know a lot of designers. But the problem is, like, when I talk to them, like, they want to be optimistic, but I don't know that they're confident that Figma is going to remain this growth business that's going to keep scaling. Like, where are all these new people going to come from?
That's right.
Who are going to use Figma?
Right? That's fine. But the current stock price is literally undervalued.
Is it? What's the valuation?
Because if the 12 market cap is $10 billion.
I don't know if that's true. Okay. So, I mean, like, that's...
Because it has to be, right? Like, it's 12 months after the IPO price. Everybody that ever wants to exit has now exited it. So it's obviously under pressure.
So, like, dude, there are stocks that just don't perform. So another really famous one is Dropbox.
Right.
Dropbox is another one of these things where, like, so I personally think, from a stock perspective, not from a company perspective, Figma is another Dropbox. Like, I just think they're going to be flat. I think they went out at like a massive valuation. I think they have a really interesting product. They have a great user base of people who love it. I don't see it going to grow rapidly because stock appreciation is all about the future. And it's all about businesses that are going to grow.
Dropbox is a good example. Dropbox. Yeah. But they kind of got commodified and competed away, right? Like, Google came out with Drive, Apple came out with Apple subscription, Microsoft.
Yeah, they did. They got the competition, they got
modified.
Got really, totally. Right. So there wasn't like a big market for them to grow into, which is, so that happens, right? But do I think it's going to happen with SpaceX? Absolutely not. I think SpaceX is a monopoly. Like, I cannot believe how far ahead they are. Like, once I looked into the S1, I had no idea that the connectivity business, so like Starlink, that business is massive.
And yeah,
like there
yeah, of
are
course.
There's no one, no one competing with them. They've launched 10,000 satellites.
Yeah,
10,000 satellites, dude.
all their competitors, like rural internet providers, satellite internet providers, everybody hates them.
They've
like,
only got
the worst
what?
Thing ever.
They've got like 5 satellites too. Those guys don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the capacity. Like they cannot do what Elon's doing. There's no one out there that can do it. And they're not even close. Like New Glenn blew up on the runway like a couple of weeks ago. Dude, that sets them back a huge amount.
Years.
They don't like they don't have as many rockets, right? Like they're the only people that are even trying to compete. Like they don't have a single customer for, I believe it's called Leo. Like it's going to take years. Like by the time that thing launches, like they're going to have to be running very expensive switch campaigns to get people to move away from Starlink to their product. Like, is that going to happen?
No SpaceX way. I honestly don't think SpaceX competition will come domestically. I think it's their competitors are literally other countries. So like France, China, launching rockets. That's might be subsidized by the government.
I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Like, anyway, the point I was just trying to make is like, it's not Figma and it's not Dropbox. Like, they're in this growth business that they have a monopoly. It doesn't look like
they have a monopoly. Yeah.
Competitor is going to emerge. I mean, even if the French get it together, which I actually think would be quite cool if they did, I don't expect them to, and started competing directly with them, it's still going to take them like 5-10 years or whatever, right? I don't think it's in the cards, but that would be great. I think it'd be fantastic, but not going to happen. So that they've just got like they've got a market they can run with.
The real question is like, will there be a market for this actually? So like, okay, let's say that satellite internet, Starlink itself, great business already penetrated as much as possible. But then that's like not by itself a $1 trillion company business, right? The hopes for rocket building rockets is that now you're creating an entire ecosystem of people wanting to send stuff into space.
Okay, that's a different question. Now you're asking.
Well, of course.
Like, yeah. So they've got the connectivity business. They got the rocket business.
SpaceX, they got the AI
business, which if you go on Reddit, everyone's making fun of the AI business because like it doesn't exist. Like there's all these projections in there, but like they haven't delivered on any of it. But I believe they will.
Well, I mean, like hypothetically, Google and Claude or Anthropic is paying them $1 billion a month to use their Colossus infrastructure. That's real.
Correct. So. Yeah, it's pretty significant, right? It only emerged in the last like couple of weeks or something.
Highly profitable. It's like a 40% payoff.
Okay. So it's a question like, how do they grow into this crazy valuation? I think you're dead on that. The AI data center business in space is real and going to be huge.
AI data center in space. Yeah, but
you're laughing. You don't believe in that? That's totally good. Dude, they banned data centers here in Seattle. There's like a moratorium or something.
No, I think that becomes a Tesla fully self-driving Elon meme. Okay, Elon's gonna say we're gonna have like a 100 megawatt capacity data center in space in the next 5 years, and then 10 years later, maybe they have like a megawatt in space.
Dude, no, the technology is not that difficult. There's people around that I know who like work for, let's just say, space companies and stuff like. Other space companies too, like they have all. I was actually astounded. Like I didn't understand how this stuff works. Like there's base stations that beam the data up. Like they have all of it. Like the issue with the data centers is that they need the new rocket. What's that one called? Starship.
Starship Super Heavy.
It's still in testing, right? So the whole business hinges on Starship working, which I'm confident it'll work. When, I don't know. And that's how they'll launch all this stuff. So it's more of like a delivery of the payloads than anything. All the other problems are solved.
No. There's so many problems. It's so many problems. So like the biggest problem is actually heat dissipation in space.
That's cold.
So no, but it's vacuum, right? Like it's vacuum so that there's no heat can't be dissipated. The only way that you can dissipate heat is through radiation, but that's super slow.
Okay, we're not going to debate. Dude, I spent so much time on these SpaceX forums on Reddit. And there is like a rabbit hole about this specific one. Like,
yeah,
there's scientists arguing back and forth about this one. So I'm not even gonna. I don't have a PhD. I can't even get into this discussion.
That is actually the biggest problem is that they have to come up with a new.
I'm on team. It'll get solved. How's that?
But as an investor, when, right? Is it 5 to 10 years? Is it 20 years?
So funny, dude. It was the most Reddit moment I've ever had. Like a giant 100%. Thread about that specific thing. And I'm just like, okay, this is like beyond my like I know where I'm like outgunned, like intellectually. Like I'm not an ignoramus, but like at the same token, like there's some things where like I don't play there. Like that's funny.
This is like the most Reddit. Exactly. You're getting great. To this.
That was great.
Have a nerd debate list.
All right, we got 10 minutes. Should we talk about some other stuff? I got this thing open right now with about the other IPOs. So just so people are aware, like SpaceX, $1.75 trillion valuation. And they've got OpenAI and Anthropic also who have like filed to go public. And both of them are at trillion dollar
plus. OpenAI is the latest one.
It's so exciting.
OpenAI is going to be the last one. I'm a little bit scared for OpenAI, actually.
Yeah, they do that article came Anthropic, out today. Oh, good.
I mean, they're going to be the last IPO that gets listed. Is that correct?
September?
If that's... It's,
I don't think there's a date for Anthropic, but if I was Anthropic, I would try to get it out before...
before...
Okay, for sure. Yeah.
Because if that stock goes under on opening day or flat, that creates a lot of problems. There's news where I think SoftBank is trying to sell or borrow against their OpenAI holding. And nobody is willing to lend them money. That is a scary thing. That basically means that banks, for the grown-ups in the industry, do not think OpenAI is worth what they've raised their last round on. So the bag holders right now are people like SoftBank,
Masa-san himself.
Masa, yeah. That
guy's a legend, dude.
So the only way that they can get more funding now is definitely not through SoftBank, is through open market. And if open market listens to what the banks are saying, OpenAI is going to get a haircut.
So I don't know. What I was going to say was like an article came out today saying like OpenAI is going to consider cutting token prices. So they're already going to start to engage in Anthropic in a pricing war.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to.
Sounds great, right?
It sounds great for the consumers, not great for the company.
I don't know what it means. It's a rumor or just like a. So I have no idea.
I'll do a little bit of prediction here.
Okay.
I think OpenAI should 100% go after the consumer AI adoption angle. I think they should just concede that. Let's say for the prosumer and above, it's going to be captured by Anthropic. Enterprise, I think Google is going to win. And ChatGPT is going to compete in the consumer side of things. So like if there's a $5 to like $50 subscription range every single month, and then you limit the usage to like kind of what Alexa and Siri was originally supposed to be, I think there's a massive market.
I like this idea, but I think that they might have already like played their hand, and it's really difficult now.
Of course, like I think so too. But whatever, I mean, like they're
whatever happened with them and Apple, that was the moment where they I want to say they lost.
I agree with that. I agree. That 100%. Was the moment
they didn't navigate that deal well, and then they hired Johnny Ives, that really pissed everyone off at Apple.
100%.
And that was like ultimately not smart, even though it made this hilarious video that I love to watch and make fun of.
I just feel like they lost focus, right? Like Sora.
Well, by doing that,
they made
Apple an enemy. They needed to partner them, and they were going to be included. They were going to be powering Siri and doing all this AI stuff on the phone, which would be awesome. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we hired Johnny, and now we're going to make a competing device. Like, of course, Apple's like, what? Like, there's a lawsuit over this whole thing and stuff. Like, it was not smart.
Hey, so, like, I'm not going to write them off on whether if they can disrupt the consumer device industry. I don't know. Apple is also kind of, you know, WWDC just happened. I barely paid attention. Siri's going to renew, like, or it becomes a wrapper around Gemini. I don't know.
Yeah, we had it on our list. I mean, nothing's available. It's just announcements.
It's just announcements, right? Like, so we'll know by September. Usually that's when the next version of iOS comes out, new device comes out. That's when real people actually touch it for the first time. So like there is definitely competition or opportunity for OpenAI to solve the consumer AI problem.
Dude, it's really simple. If I was running OpenAI, what I would have done is hire Johnny in secret. I don't know why they didn't do this. Who did I talk to about this before? During the like iOS device explosion, there were a lot of people that tried to compete. I remember having similar conversation with somebody about like a similar type of business situation. And the way I'd position it was this. What would Steve Jobs do? Steve would go and like build a building somewhere in Canada or whatever that no one knows about. He'd go and get a crack team of amazing people. He'd throw them in that building and he wouldn't tell anybody what he was doing. And he would just show up there and he'd look at it. And it was when it was bonkers amazing, he would release it. And so if Allman had just done that, he could have caught Johnny Ives. Like he should have just been like, dude, like the whole same deal, but just not public. Just we're going to make the craziest device ever. It's going to be the coolest thing that's ever happened. And we're going to do it in secret. And then we're going to negotiate with Apple in order to get our technology embedded in iOS. Game over.
100%. 100%. 150%.
Like, I'm not that smart, like, but that's when I just think about Steve Jobs, what he's done, that's what Steve Jobs would have done. Steve would have been like,
and he did it over and over again on different parts of like the iPhone.
Well, dude, he didn't need to make announcements on social media all the time. Steve, like, have of you course. Ever heard the iPad? So, okay. The iPad was the first iOS device. And supposedly, what I heard from people I know through the whatever, someone came into the room and was like, Steve, this is what we have. And he goes, he looks at it, he goes, it's awesome, but it should be a phone. And that was it. And then they went back and they made it into a phone. So originally they launched the iPad and they were all excited about it. And then Steve was the one who insisted that it was a phone. And like, dude, none of this leaked. Like, so Apple had been working on this thing for a really long time. So they had the whole tablet, everything before the iPhone even came out.
So, okay. My point is making things
like you don't have to post everything you do on social media. Like you can do things in secret and have business strategies and take a different approach. That's it. Okay. I'm done. Sorry.
Okay. I agree with everything that you just said. My only pushback is maybe they're in different situations. And like the fact that nothing got leaked at Apple, of course, like Apple's very secretive afterwards. But did you think that on the first iteration of iPhone or the iPad, people actually believed in the product? Like the people who's building it at the time, did they think that the iPhone would have been such a hit?
No.
So like that's a departure from all of these like new AI companies, right? Everybody, like you talk to an engineer on Anthropic, they think they're building like the next super intelligence. They think they're building a god. So like to prevent leaks from happening.
That's a really good point. It's a really important point. So I remember, I remember all that. Like, and so I remember the Newton when I was like a kid, like Apple released the Newton, which was like a PDA. It was a total flop.
That's right. Yeah.
Nerds Full liked flop. It because it was kind of like it showed the future, but it kind of went nowhere. And so everyone knew that like Apple had this concept. I guarantee you're right that like people, I don't know. I have no information about this one, but I guarantee that people at Apple were like working on these things and like they work on all kinds of things and they make cool stuff. And that's why you worked at Apple because they make badass, totally cool, totally futuristic stuff. And I bet you that iPad demo was pretty good. It probably was like the better version of the Newton that everyone wanted. Like they're like, hey, this thing works. It's amazing. And then Steve's like, that's great, but actually it should be a phone and blah, blah, blah. Like
people probably thought he was a dumbass.
But like you make a great point that like they didn't think they were like building a god. They didn't think they were going to like they wanted it to be a cool breakthrough smartphone. But they did not have this like.
That's right. That's right.
Or yeah, it's probably. Well, I mean, like, look, it's in hindsight, like the fact that like they had to make this thing so public, I think was really bad for them.
So I do wonder if that's like it. So, OK. If the situation that Sam and like is in now is if you don't do this, the leak and the news will get ahead of you and it will run away into something that you might not like.
I think it's really
simple.
I think
that's his struggle.
I think it's just all it was like just to it's a fun like the announcements were to get more investment. I think it's a simple.
I get that, right? Like, but like, let's say he works in secret with like Johnny Ives, right? And then people get involved and they leak the collaboration. And then he doesn't come out and say anything. I think Apple would be pissed off either way.
Yeah, well, it can't leak.
That's hard. Right.
That's why I say, like, right. So there's a model, dude. That's why, like, you build this, like, division. You buy a firm in Australia or something, right? Like, you physically locate it far away from Silicon Valley. So it reduces the likelihood of leaks. Yeah. You put it in Argentina. Mille's all excited about it. Yeah, like that's a fundamental, like, way that this thing gets done, in my opinion.
You need to hire Palantir. That's what you need to do. You should have
hired
Palantir.
They keep a lot of secrets. They keep a lot of secrets, right?
That's what I'm talking about. Like, Sam Altman should have hired Palantir.
All right, so we got a ton of things on our list. Is there anything that we want to talk about? We got to Siri. We did mention Siri a little bit. Token maxing. We've kind of touched on that, too. Is there anything else that we need to get in before we close here?
Oh, I think we hit everything. And then are we coming online tomorrow to live?
All right. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kick off at X Space. I'll probably do it just before the open, so that's like 6:30 Pacific time. Yeah, I'll kick off an X Space and we can all chat about all of the day trading and gambling we're doing with the SpaceX stock tomorrow, because it'll be fun.
It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be a blast. I can't wait. There's all kinds of people on X who are like, yeah, I can't wait. Tomorrow morning we're all gonna chat about it. So
it's gonna be awesome.
Oh, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Yeah, I don't want to do the stream is too much work. We'll just do the space and kind of chat on that.
Space,
that
space. That's the whole point of spaces.
Yeah, the X spaces are fun for that kind of thing, right?
Okay, perfect.
Okay, are we done?
We're done.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Stop recording.